Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Well, thank you all for joining us this morning. Tim will be joining us momentarily, so I'm filling in on our intro. Today we're having our Institute of Supply Management series, the non-manufacturing sector, with Mr. Anthony Nieves. Mr. Anthony, are you here?
Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Came back from a couple of days off up on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. 10 days, slept 111 hours, not including afternoon naps. You know, what could be bad?
Wow. Wow, that sounds like a great vacation there.
Oh, and then, of course, that's just nighttime. Then there's eating and drinking and then starting all over again. So we had a wonderful time, wonderful weather, great time of the year. And I wanted to be away long enough, it was 10 days, so that you could get your numbers up for this show. And
well,
I'm going to let you take it away.
Great. I'm just hoping with these numbers I can stay in your good graces for the next month.
It adds to your scores to get your copy of the yellow jacket.
The Masters of Radio. I love it.
That's right.
So this month,
great numbers.
Yes. The composite index coming in at 54.7, you know, up from last month's 52.6, a nice uptick, 2.1 percentage point. Beat everyone's expectations this month, which was something we alluded to last month, that when we had that pullback, you know, August was such a strong reading at 56.4. When we hit the 52.6 in September, we heard recession, and
that
doesn't seem to be near the case. As we see, no one's speaking about the inverted yield curve anymore. That's gone away. We've had some headwinds, certainly, you know, with the trade war. We've had the ramifications from that. That's the cost that we've been bearing, especially on the manufacturing side.
Right.
And when you look at business activity at 57, up 1.8 percentage points from the 55.2, also a good number month to month. New orders, 55.6. That's up 1.9 percentage points. And what I consider to be very important in this sector is that employment figure, 53.7, up 3.3 percentage points. We were getting toward that contraction area at that 50 when we get closer to 50 baseline.
Right.
But, you know, part of that had to do with available resources, a little bit of slowing in business activity for the respective companies. As we know, labor is one of those variable expenses, controllable variable expenses that is there's an immediate reaction with heavy labor service companies. As they look to control their expenses, they'll cut back on staffing. But yet, I think that's what's been an anchor on this employment index all along has been the labor pool itself. It's been a restricted labor pool. The last index that we have, you know, that comprises this composite supplier deliveries continue to slow at a slightly slower rate, or I should say faster rate of slowing, at 52.5. But the report in total looks very good this month.
No, it's great numbers, and I hope it's indicative that the November ISM manufacturing, which I think is going to take a good uptick this coming month.
Well, hopefully so. It's been a little bit of a lag there in the sense that we thought we might see a little bit more growth on the September report and the October report, and instead we seem to be looking at it saying, well, it's contracting at a slower rate, which is not a bad indication in the sense of where it was before. And as we know, manufacturing has taken more of a hit with this trade war. So and it's reflected in it, because it's such a smaller portion of the economy, the impact is larger.
Did many of your respondents this month bring up about the trade wars and the tariffs and such?
Yes, especially we see it in wholesale trade. One of the on the lead in what respondents are saying, business is still lower than this time last year due to the tariff issues and a soft market. So we're seeing a number of comments still come in about the trade uncertainty. But, you know, looking at this, and this is, you know, some recent, more recent developments, which I think will bode well to your point going into next month. You know, the trade negotiations have improved over the last week and a half or so. And, you know, we're collecting this data, you know, in that time frame. So it's not like every one of our respondents was able to react to the survey about what's going on with the trade negotiations.
Well, actually, about that, the trade, we haven't been hearing a whole lot of it lately, except for yesterday and last night, where they talked about signing an agreement, and they're working on phase two and three. They already know that certain tariffs are going to back off on the Chinese or on the American public, whichever way you look at it. So there is changes happening.
Oh, most definitely. When we were in D.C. Last month, making our rounds and visiting with the various agencies out there, over there, we had the Chinese delegation was in town at the same time.
Right.
And they were speaking with their counterparts, and I know it's been ongoing dialogue and negotiations, and as we have seen in the past, the biggest challenge was trying to separate the commodities versus the intellectual property, and you know, it seems to be moving in the right direction. As we've stated on the show in the past, this is a bigger impact to the Chinese economy than it is to our economy. We're their largest trading partner. And so it's in their best interest as well to get a nice settlement in this regard, to where we get we come to an agreement and everyone can move forward. And I think the economy will really take off once that happens. There's still some slowing globally, but you know, in the rest of the world. But I think you know, where we're situated with the U.S. economy, if we get this trade war settled, it'll really help to promote some growth, and the markets are reacting that way.
Well, to support your point, we ourselves last month, October, and now November, even though it's only the November, what are we today, the 4th? Right. We see that companies have run out of inventory, and I think that some of that reflects in your non-manufacturing report in terms of inventory also.
Oh, definitely. We see the inventory is growing just over the 50 baseline. The rate of growth is 50.5. It's down 2.5 percentage points, and also impacts the imports. The imports are at 48.5, so everyone's, you know, they've built up their inventory in the past when the price points were favorable, and then they held back. They pulled back on replenishment and looking for alternate supply chains to fulfill those orders, and it does drive into the non-manufacturing as well on the supply chain. You know, and looking at it, you know, inventories of 50.5, it goes hand in hand also with when you come off a slower month, there's less replenishment, there's a pull off of your existing inventories, then the interrelation there is with back orders being impacted. That's burned off some, delivery slowing. All of those three indexes all have a correlation there.
What we also found is that some, what we call LTAs, long-term agreements, are beginning to come back. the LTAs were the first hit over these last 6 months in manufacturing, where there were less of them. Everyone became a little bit psychotic about what's going on in the world, in Washington, and so on and so forth. So they were not signing long-term agreements. And now we're sensing that they are now beginning to. And we've seen that in our own All Metals and Forge Group company, that there have been LTAs that have come back to life. So that's all good stuff talking for next month, November, for manufacturing. I presume that it has an effect also on the non-manufacturing side.
Definitely. You don't see as many of the LTAs in the sense of, I mean, there are long-term agreements, don't get me wrong, but it's they're formatted differently, because in the services arena, when you look at some of the commodities that are there, especially on the food side, there's a lot of volatility and a lot of market movement. So you're basing those agreements off index market indices and whatnot. So, and then even when you can lock in certain prices or do future buys, again, when you're doing it from a import basis, these tariffs tend to override whatever you might have in place there. So there's a lot of variables and moving parts that people aren't aware of on the surface.
And you're not going to hear it in mainstream media.
No, not at all. They're just, you know what they say is, as supply management professionals, our role is to, you know, take all that complexity away out of the equation for the end user, for the recipient, and it's kind of working behind the scenes, and people don't realize how sophisticated some of these and how the intricacy behind some of these supply chains.
I just hope that we don't lose a lot of the supply chain business as a result of the tariffs, being that once they leave a supply chain and join another one, it's hard to get that business back.
Oh, no question. You know, we've talked about that on the show in the past.
Sure.
This is something I felt that the Chinese had to be cognizant of, that once those supply routes are moved and they go to other alternate sources, offshore sources, or they wind up bringing it back to domestic U.S., there has to be a real compelling price point to move it back, and that typically doesn't exist. It's too much... too much heavy lifting to get that done.
Sure, and for what purpose? For what purpose?
To put yourself in a precarious position.
Yeah, you're putting yourself back in the hands of the guy who put the tariffs and put you in detriment in the first place.
Yep, no question about that.
So there's a trust factor which is being affected. So let's see if Mr. Tim Grady has joined us, and I think he has.
I've jumped in.
Yeah, it's we're having a little I think a little audio issue, but we'll just have to deal with that. So I gather you've gotten this part of the story, the numbers.
I have a question for Anthony. Anthony, has there ever been a case in the past between the manufacturing and non-manufacturing reports for an extended period of time where manufacturing was softening but non-manufacturing was rising, and they didn't operate in some range parallel to one another?
Oh, we've seen that. And I hate to bring up the R word, but we saw that going into the last recession, where we had, you know, continuing growth in the non-manufacturing sector, and manufacturing was on the decline. And it was, at first people thought it was an anomaly, but it was really, back then, at that period of time, it was truly a bellwether as to what was going on in the overall economy in that regard. And this is a different scenario. This is not the same. We don't have the bubble that we had in the past two recessions. We were talking earlier on the show before you came on board there, Tim, that we're not hearing the anything about the yield curve anymore, as that's improved. And that that's a direct directly correlates to the psyche of the investors. And so when we look at, you know, the bond rates, and We see that the headwinds, the only true headwinds we have right now is besides the trade, the tariffs, is you know, political concerns and the slowing global economy that needs to improve as well. I think the U.S. economy is set up very strongly. It's just a matter of the cost of that we're bearing with this trade war that has impacted manufacturing the way it has. And hopefully, with the recent developments with improved trade negotiations, that we'll see the manufacturing side start to have an uptick like we've seen here in the non-manufacturing sector.
To your point about Europe, I think Germany is still in the doghouse. And just before I went showtime, I was talking with an aide who had just come back from Europe. And I couldn't help myself. I said, so is the UK still there? I mean, I don't know if you've been tuned into what's gone on in Parliament over the last couple of days, but it's chaotic. They are out of control.
Well,
they're always out of control.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm trying to be somewhat politically correct, but it's every time I see a scene flash on the news, whether it's the British Parliament or the Italian Parliament, I mean, they look like they're in some real close to fisticuffs there.
It's almost street fighting.
I'm surprised they're having food fights.
Yeah.
Order, order, order. they are really having a tough time of it.
I guess Brexit looks like it's getting resolved, and that'll happen sometime in January. And the tariffs look like they're getting resolved. Anthony, have any of your respondents, has anybody said anything about when these tariffs might dissipate, or do we just expect them to stay in place for months?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't think any one of our panelists has, you know, the insight about that. And I think that it's interesting that even some of our government agencies don't know what's going on with that as well. And it's just
a surprise.
Yeah, well, it's close to the vest right now. You just have these negotiations going on. Again, things that are being released as far as information about the negotiations seems to be favorable. And as Lou said earlier, it's only been in the last day and a half. I know that the delegation's been there for quite some time, but you know, time will tell. I don't think it's going to be something that will be months. I think some of the things that my feeling is that hopefully this thing is done by year end, and then we can get into the first quarter of 2020 with some really good uplifting news in regards to this trade war.
You're getting your yellow jacket points again.
Anthony, how much of your sector, and I realize transportation is in your sector and so is mining, is triggered by prices of oil?
Every industry is affected. Every industry in non-manufacturing is affected some way, somehow, over the cost of oil. And it's based on the reliance on overland trucking and transportation costs, petroleum-based products. All of that factors in to price points. That's why you're seeing that pricing index, even though it's showing growth month to month, it's not as strong as what we've seen in the past. And we've really not seen much pricing power in the last couple of years, and when you overall look at it, there's a reason why the Federal Reserve has not been increasing or decreasing interest rates on a consistent basis, is because with the low unemployment and the low no signs of inflation, it's just they can only do so much to stimulate the economy, and you know, the rates are pretty low to start with, so. As much as we like to hear them keep going down, 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 it's not really called for. And we had this slowing the last couple of months, especially on the manufacturing side, 3 months in a row. Non-manufacturing is a bit different, where we had a very good August, and then we had that pullback in September. So it's kind of been alternating months in non-manufacturing. If you go back on the 12-month, the last 12 running months, we were up at 60.4 last November, and we were hovering in the high 50s, anywhere 58 in December, 56.7 January of 2019, 59.7 February 2019. And we kind of were still not going below that 55.1 until we hit July. We started this alternating months of 53.7 July, then 56.4 uptick in August, back down in September, 52.7. Everyone got nervous, started hearing the R word again, now back up to 54.7.
One of the things that I found over the years, which I appreciated from a standpoint of running an operation based on the fact that the numbers don't do what you just said they do, and that is going up 1 month, down the next month, up one, down one. Typically, it takes several months to set the trend. 2-3 months up, 2-3 months down. You don't get this zigzag approach, or at least I'm not, from my experience in watching the ISM numbers. That's not my experience.
No, it's been a bit of an anomaly because we had, I think that the big challenge was that we had slow, steady, incremental growth coming out of the recession for quite some time. The economy was just kind of humming along. It wasn't really, it was doing well, but not great. And then all of a sudden we hit this period of time starting back in the last quarter of right after the election in 2016 was kind of more of a psyche thing where the perception of corporate favorability, and then the economy kind of got a little jolt there, and then you had the capital the tax cuts that also stimulated some capital spending that kind of popped it up a bit, and then it kind of leveled off because boom, next thing you know, we're right into the uncertainty surrounding trade and the political concerns and everything else coming to surface. And that is where I feel we've had this kind of volatility. But keeping in mind, as much as we've seen this up and down movement, it's always been growth. It's just, what is that rate of growth?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, no doubt. Anthony, you and I talked with Lou and on this show for months and months about transportation and the shortage of trucks, the shortage of drivers. Yet in this report, I see transportation costs are actually declining at the moment. Has the system caught up to the demand?
You know, it's dissipated somewhat. It's not so much that it's caught up. We're not experiencing the capacity constraint that we had. But also, we've had some fall off in the activity levels with some of that zigzagging months that we just talked about. So it gave us time for room for breathing, so to speak, in how they were able to catch up and work down some of the backlog and cycle time. So, yeah, there was slow rail service, there was a shortage of racks, there was no trucks, no drivers. We had all of that coming to a head.
That being said, I have been noticing, I travel on Route 80 in New Jersey, which is part of the federal highway system, and a lot of trucks that go back and forth heading east and west. And I've noticed, again, the signs on the back of the trucks, drivers wanted. So either they're preparing for something, or it hasn't fully caught up, or they didn't take down the old sign. One of the three.
Well, there's definitely a need for drivers. Okay, it's just it's not been as much a shortage of overland trucking based on what we're seeing and what our respondents are telling us, and it's all relative to the capacity and what the output is. Right. So as we've had some slowing in the rate of growth, that's helped a bit in that regard. But there's still a shortage of drivers. Shortage the trucks, I think they're starting to catch up a little bit on the inventory there, but definitely having some drivers is a necessity at this point.
Maybe I had to take up a part-time job for weekends.
Ask them if they have the Cape Cod run for you, Lou.
Yeah, that's right, the Cape Cod run.
drive up on Friday night and drive back on Monday morning.
That's it. I'll take a load both ways.
Yeah, too bad they ship lobsters by air.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to eat a dead lobster, that's for sure.
No.
It's on your non-manufacturing industries that are reporting growth. You know, usually it's the big ones that drive the number upward. In this case, we have agriculture and forestry, fishing and hunting, utilities. It looks like the smaller sectors are pushing the number upward. Is there any reason for that?
Well, you know, you have to also keep in mind, though, right there is real estate rental and leasing, and that's the largest contributor to GDP in this sector. So that's one of the – that they're – what are they? I think they're like fifth out of the 13 industries. So that is a big driver. So, yeah, you have some of the smaller ones there because, you know, the top three of them, you know, if you look at the – public administration's a big one, and that's more toward the bottom. But as far as once you get past that 20-some-odd percentile range, I think off the top of my head, I'd have to look at the numbers. I think it's around close to 28% is what real estate rental and leasing represents as far as in the 18 industries toward the GDP. Then after the top three, the fall off goes down into single-digit percentages.
Ah, okay. So, Lou, yeah, in the overall, I'm just wondering, I mean, this is a great report. The non-manufacturing sector has held up well. We saw the manufacturing sector tick up a bit. Lou's business has ticked up well. So what does it look like November, December, as we go into the retail selling season, which they tell us is going to be the shortest since 2013?
Well, I still feel that this quarter has always been a very strong quarter for, historically, a good quarter for the non-manufacturing sector. We've lagged a bit on the manufacturing side. We thought that September would have been that pivotal month, and yet we're, you know, now into October with the third month of, in a row of contraction for manufacturing. I hope that based on the progress made on the trade front, that we see manufacturing have an uptick next month. I feel that non-manufacturing will continue to reflect growth and continue through the end of the year and into 2020. We have our semi-annual report coming out in December, which will give an indication of what our panelists feel, you know, the projections will be for, it's the 9th of December is the release date for that, by the way. So less than a little over a month away.
Well, we'll probably have you here talking about it.
And that's another points toward my, is that more points toward my yellow jacket?
Oh, you get double points for your annual and semi-annual.
Boy, oh boy, I get to use airline miles too?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. That doesn't help me. It only helps the airlines.
Well, so I go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you know, kind of give us your wrap up on this. You were finishing, so yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think that we have some really good things in place from the overall economic picture. You know, employment is stronger than what was expected. We had the improving trade negotiations. We don't have to worry about the inverted yield curve anymore. And, you know, we just had a rate cut, interest rate cut. The S&P has increased again. So, you know, the biggest thing that's holding back everything is, as we've talked almost ad nauseum, is the trade war. And the global economy definitely needs an uplift here, because hopefully with the Brexit getting resolved and some of the other things that have been in place. I mean, you know, the Japanese economy is their factory activity has been, you know, slumping, and, you know, we've had other issues across other areas of the world that do indirectly impact us here in the U.S. We've been driven by the consumers. The consumer has been driving this economy here for the U.S., and hopefully we'll get this commercial confidence back, which it seems like we're on the right track for. So, You know, the one thing is the expectations for GDP growth are better moving forward. This month, if you annualize what the NMI represents, it was at 2.1%. We can see this maybe going to, you know, a 2.5% GDP finishing out the year maybe, so that would be nice. But I think the economy is in a good position, provided something catastrophic doesn't happen between now and then. So overall, expectations are good.
Well, let's see how the stock market does today based on all the things you've said today. I'm going to watch it at closing.
My focus was to make sure I can last another month in your good graces, Lou. That was it. That was my primary focus of this call today.
We appreciate that. And we'll be talking to you next month, maybe twice, as a result of your annual review and your regular show at the beginning of the month. So we'll be talking to you at that time.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
Anthony. Appreciate being on the show.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. Have a great day, gentlemen.
You too.
Thank you.
And thanks.
We've been talking with Anthony Nieves, who's the committee chair from the ISM Institute for Supply Management on the non-manufacturing report on business in this ISM series, which is the report on business that comes out on the first and fourth of well, I should say the first business day and the fourth business day of each month, which we report on exclusively here on Manufacturing Talk Radio, and you can listen to at mfgtalkradio.com with all of our other shows, which you will find linked there. And Lou, shortly, I think we've got a new show that, well, not new to you and I, we've been working on it for a year, but Where's Willie is about ready to launch.
Where's Willie? And the theme behind that is he's on the road again for manufacturing. And Willie Nelson's even going to do a little intro for us about on the road. So we're having some jokes and laughs with this, but Willie's a very senior fellow and really knows his stuff. And that's actually starting on November 7th. I just got the flash.
All right.
So we're launching on November 7th, and that'll be on a Thursday. So tune in and keep listening.
And thanks for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.